Amen. Amen. Every one of those worship songs tonight exemplifies the people we're going to be looking at in Acts chapter 18 tonight. Paul, Aquila, and Priscilla, and Apollos. So would you turn with me to Acts chapter 18 as we specifically look at these four individuals tonight and their activity. The activity of Paul, Aquila, Priscilla, and Apollos. Every one of them gave God their yes. Every one of them was a living sacrifice. Every one of them yielded their heart to the Lord. So they are a great example for us to follow in their footsteps. When I came to Acts chapter 18, I was reminded of a principle when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus Christ and making a disciple or making disciples of Jesus Christ. And that is this. We're all in the school of lifelong learning. There is never a time as a Christian where I'm being a disciple and I'm seeking to make disciples that I'm not learning. It's lifelong. And I learn by experience. I learn by doing. That's why discipleship has to be more than just instruction and books and study and classroom. That's a part of it. But it's got to be getting into it. I encourage Christians all the time, and I want to say this again tonight, just start serving the Lord in some capacity. That's how you learn. You're never going to learn and grow and be the disciple God wants you to be and be in a place where you can make disciples simply if you cloister yourself in a classroom setting and all you're doing is just taking in information and instruction. It can even be good, but you got to get out there and be doing it. Doing it. I've learned way more in 41 years of being a pastor than I ever did in college and seminary. In fact, no college and no seminary would ever prepare you for ministry, just like no amount of study, no classroom is going to answer all the questions and prepare you totally for serving the Lord. You just got to get out there and start doing it. And let those experiences be what educates you, you see. That's your best education. And because you're always going to be learning, because there's always going to be new situations and new circumstances and new challenges and new trials. And let's face it, and I'm talking about all of us, we're people. We present challenges. So as you work with people, there's always going to be stuff, and you've got to put yourself out there and learn through, obviously, the leading and guiding of the Holy Spirit. How do I work through this, Lord? How do I deal with this? How do I handle this? And it's not by sitting in a classroom. It's by getting out there and doing it. And again, none of us, no matter how long we've been a Christian or how long we've been a disciple or how many disciples we've made, do we ever get to a place where we can't learn more and grow more? And that's what you see here. Because I want to specifically draw our attention tonight in Acts chapter 18 to sort of the school that Paul is in Corinth when he gets there and the school that Apollos is in. I want you to take away from tonight that every day of your life, you're in training. You're in training. I'm in training every day. Every day God takes us to school and wants to teach us something and wants us to learn something. Not just by taking it in, but by doing and serving and getting out there. Before we ever get to Acts 18, because it starts with Paul entering Corinth. And I'll just say this about Corinth. I don't have enough time. I could do a whole message on Corinth. Corinth was the most unique city in the ancient world. There was no other city like Corinth, just none. It was a city where people wanted religion, but they wanted a religion that would satisfy them, not challenge them, transform them, and change them. That was part of the challenge of Paul. If I had to choose an American city that would most closely resemble the climate, if you will, of Corinth, the one that comes close, and it doesn't even, to me, come to the level of Corinth, would be Las Vegas. That would be the closest I could come to. But Corinth, way beyond that, even, of the ancient world. So I want you to see, if you go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I want us to see again the words of Paul when he enters Corinth. As great of a disciple, as a servant of God, as Paul is, when he enters Corinth, there's a little intimidation there. In fact, notice what he says in 1 Corinthians 2, the first five verses. When I came to you, brothers and sisters, I did not come with superior eloquence or wisdom as I proclaimed the testimony of God. For I decided to be concerned about nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. My conversation and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith would not be based on human wisdom, but on the power of God. So now go back with me to Acts chapter 18. What are some things we can learn from Paul as he is in the school of discipleship while he's in Corinth? Well, notice when he departs, verse 1, Acts 18, 1, from Athens, he goes to Corinth. The first thing he does is he finds Aquila and Priscilla. And the word found there is a key word because it means that everywhere that Paul went as a disciple, he was looking for other disciples. He was looking for other fellow believers that had the heart for God that he had, that he could fellowship with. He was looking for mutually encouraging and mutually strengthening Christian relationships continually because he understood, I cannot be on the battlefield. I cannot be out there being a disciple of Jesus Christ and making disciples, especially in a city like Corinth, and not have some good folks around me. So he found Aquila and Priscilla. And the word found means to find after searching. He might have had to search for a while before he found this couple. When he did, notice, he approached them, the end of verse 2. That took some courage because you and I know there are times maybe where God is leading us to go up to a complete stranger. And we're having this internal conversation with God. Are you sure, God? You sure you want me to do that? Because I don't even know this person, but you're leading me to have this conversation with them. But that's what Paul did. He approached them. And they immediately sort of had this not only shared affinity, but this shared affection for one another and this shared purpose and this shared heart for God. And so he stays with them and he works with them because they were all tent makers by trade. You see, there were times in Paul's missionary work and ministry where he had to be bivocational. There were times, and we're going to see that in just a moment in verse 5, where when Silas and Timothy finally gets there, that they are bringing him some financial support so that he can sort of lay aside his tent making and he can be fully absorbed in the work of the ministry. But there were many times where he had to, in a sense, work and try to do ministry at the same time. So they worked together. And it says in verse 4, he addressed both Jews and Greeks in the synagogue every Sabbath, attempting to persuade them to obviously accept Jesus Christ. So I want us to see that when Paul gets to Corinth, as we saw in 1 Corinthians, he is totally relying on the Spirit to work through him. He's not trying to do this in his own wisdom. And obviously, wisdom was a key thing in Corinth as well. He was trying to be an example of the power of the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit. But he also wanted to surround himself, not with a lot. He didn't need a lot of friends. He didn't need a lot of companions, but he wanted a few good ones. And he stayed with them, and they worked together. And they then were, in a sense, discipling each other. I don't think it was just one-sided where Paul was pouring in and investing into Aquila and Priscilla. I think he was, but I think they were doing the same with Paul. And they all became mutually stronger because of this relationship that they had. It was iron sharpening iron. But then verse 5 tells us, when Silas and Timothy arrived from Macedonia, then Paul was able to lay aside the tent making, and it said he became wholly absorbed with proclaiming the word. He was able to give all of his time, all of his energy, all of his devotion to simply prioritizing studying the word of God and proclaiming the word of God. And he had one primary message. Jesus is the Christ to his Jewish brothers and sisters. Jesus is the Messiah. Now again, we have also seen throughout our study of the book of Acts, as Jesus is building the church, the gates of hell will not prevail, but that doesn't mean that there's not resistance and you know, attacks from the other side. So you see here in verse 6, there were many who opposed him and reviled him while he was in Corinth. In fact, in verses 12 through verse 17, you have these Jews who in verse 12 attacked Paul together and brought him before the judgment seat, the Bema seat at the city of Corinth. This was not an easy place to minister, and this was not an easy place to stay. And yet, because of the encouragement of God and the encouragement of his fellow believers, Silas and Timothy now joining him along with Aquila and Priscilla. Notice what it says in verse 11. He stayed there for a year and 6 months, 18 months, teaching the word of God among them. Verse 18 tells us, Paul, after staying many more days in Corinth, finally said farewell and began to sail to Syria. Corinth was not an easy place. So in a sense, Paul's in the school of adversity, isn't he? This was a tough assignment. This was not the easiest place to minister, but Paul was simply being obedient to the leading of the Holy Spirit. And when he got there, he's like, Holy Spirit, boy, do I need you. And then we find out he finds Aquila and Priscilla. And when he gets the opportunity, man, he totally takes it. He becomes totally devoted. The word of God and the teaching of the word of God becomes his priority and the passion of his life. But even after all that Paul has been through, all the lives that he has seen God use him to touch, all the experiences, all the learning, all the growing, and all the time now that he's been a servant, guess what? He still needs encouragement from the Lord. So I want you to see in verse 8 of Acts 18 that through Paul's ministry and the others, many Corinthians believed and were baptized. But again, remember, the climate in Corinth would have been very hostile. And there would have been a lot of pushback in Corinth. It would not have welcomed him with open arms. So he needed encouragement. And he didn't just get it from Silas and Timothy, their arrival, and from his friendship with Aquila and Priscilla. He got it from the Lord himself. Because the Lord knows when we need encouraged. And notice, the Lord comes to Paul in verse 9, and I want us to really pay attention to these few verses here. In fact, really, just verses 9 and 10. And then we'll move on to Apollos. Because there's a lot in these two verses that you and I could take away from here every single day of our lives as well. Because just like Paul, we never get to a place where we don't need encouragement. You've heard me say that before. I've never met a human being who said to me, I don't need encouragement anymore. We all do, continually. And Paul needed it too. So notice, the Lord says to Paul by a vision in the night, first of all, do not be afraid. How many times does God tell human beings, don't be afraid, in the Bible? A lot. And we might have this picture of Paul of being such a, you know, great servant of God that he's never afraid. Well, we already know in 1 Corinthians 2, he tells us, I was with you in weakness and trembling and much fear. Paul struggled with that. And yet he was obedient in spite of him, you know, probably having some stomach issues himself and, you know, that internal, like, ooh, this is hard, God. You've given me a hard assignment. And God has to tell him, I need you, Paul, to renounce your fear. I need you to trust me. I need you to be fearless, Paul. If God had to encourage Paul, to not be afraid, how much does God need to encourage us not to be afraid? Because as we're out there trying to be a disciple and make disciples, especially in a hostile world, we can get afraid. We can lack the courage and not have that fearlessness that we need to be bold witnesses. So Paul needed to hear those words from the Lord himself. Don't be afraid. Second, speak and do not be silent. Keep doing what you're doing. Don't stop, Paul. And here's the reasons why. Here's the reasons God is going to give him why you don't need to be afraid and why I want you to keep doing what you're doing. First, I'm with you. God's presence. God's presence is always with his people, his servants. I will never leave you or forsake you. And notice, God was reminding and encouraging Paul of his personal presence with him. You and I need that as well. We all do. We need to be reminded God is with us. Second, we not only need to be reminded of God's presence, but God's protection. And God was reminding him of this as well. No one will assault you to harm you. I got you, Paul. I got your back. No one is going to harm you. I'm not telling you you won't maybe have to go through some things, but I'll watch over you and care for you so you can keep going. Because just like us, Paul was indestructible until his time on earth was over. And God's mission for him and plan and purpose for his life was over. And the same thing is true for us. God is telling each of us tonight, you don't have to be afraid because I am with you. Keep doing what you're doing. I am your protector. And then he gives Paul a promise and an encouragement. He says, because, Paul, I need you to keep doing what you're doing because I have many people in this city. God is basically telling Paul, you need to keep going no matter how difficult it is because there are people in Corinth that have yet to come to faith in me. And if you quit, then I'll have to raise somebody else up to come and share the gospel with them. But I would like to use you while you're there. What an encouragement that God is telling Paul, and he's telling us, even here tonight. I want you to know that God has been very strong in with me lately, saying, Jeff, the Oasis Church has to keep going in the direction it is because I have many more people in this community that need to come here. I have many more people in this area that needs to hear about Jesus and needs to find a church like this. So you all in the Oasis, you need to keep doing what you're doing because not everybody's here yet. That's why we keep doing what we're doing, not just for those who are already here, but for those yet to come. That needs to always be a motivation and an inspiration for us. There's still more out there that God wants to bring into our fellowship. And God is doing it every week, even through the summer here at the Oasis. So that's Paul in the school at Corinth. Notice this. When Paul, verse 18, began to sail away to Syria, guess who went with him? Priscilla and Aquila. Isn't that interesting? But when they get to Ephesus, they stay in Ephesus while Paul continues on to Antioch and to Galatia, and then he comes back eventually to Ephesus. I think Aquila and Priscilla were really in tune with the Holy Spirit because there was a reason why they were to stay behind in Ephesus. God had a young man named Apollos that he wanted them to get together with and, in a sense, have the same dynamic in play that was taking place back at Corinth with the Apostle Paul. He wanted them to connect with Apollos and have this relationship where they were being all mutually strengthened and mutually encouraged by coming together. So I want us to see in our final few minutes together tonight the activities of Apollos as he is in the school of discipleship in Ephesus. There was a Jew, verse 24, named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, who arrived in Ephesus. So God was bringing Aquila and Priscilla from Corinth to Ephesus, and now Apollos was coming from Alexandria down to Ephesus. And God was orchestrating this connection between these three people, because God has a plan and purpose for each of us. And he's very intentional about the people that he brings into our lives and the people that he wants us to disciple or to connect with or to partner with and do life and ministry with. And by the way, I didn't really emphasize this, but did you notice that even with Aquila, Priscilla, and Paul, they weren't only doing ministry together, they were doing life together. They were working together. They were doing it all together to strengthen themselves. So notice a couple characteristics, though, about Apollos. First of all, it tells us in the Bible, verse 24, he was a gifted, eloquent speaker. God had gifted him, given him the ability and the skill to be able to be a public speaker. God doesn't give that gift or that ability or capacity to everybody, but he gave it to Apollos. But that gift alone wasn't going to make Apollos a great disciple or disciple maker. Notice what else Apollos was. He was well-versed in the Scriptures, literally mighty, strong in the Scriptures. That's important. If he was going to speak, then at least he spoke the Word of God because he was strong in the Word of God. What a great compliment. Wouldn't it be great if people said of us, they are strong in the Scriptures, mighty in the Bible. They are people of the book. That's Apollos. I mean, already it's like this young man has a pretty impressive resume, right? Well, let's move on. Look at verse 25. With great enthusiasm, he spoke. I mean, here is a man who brought enthusiasm to his life and ministry. He brought passion. He was excited about what he was engaged in. Then, he wasn't a heretic. He taught accurately the facts about Jesus. He cut the Word of God straight. He handled what he did know about the Word of God correctly. He did not misinterpret it. He did not teach it erroneously. He taught it accurately. He cut it straight. And then, verse 26, he was courageous. He began to speak out fearlessly. Oh, that God may give us that fearlessness, that courage, that boldness to be strong witnesses and to let our light shine before men, no matter what they say about us or think about us. This is a pretty impressive resume. But here's what I want us to see tonight, both from Aquila and Priscilla's perspective and from Apollos' perspective. Because the Bible tells us when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained the way of God to him more accurately, to fill in the gaps and even give him a fuller picture, to add more tools to his spiritual tool belt. So let's talk about that for a minute, because it really describes for us the kind of people that God uses when it comes to discipling and being disciples. This couple over here could have looked at this young man and went, he doesn't need a thing from us. He's got it going. Man, look at him. What could we add to him, right? So the very fact that they approach him, they're showing us we all have something that we can share with others that maybe they don't have. Because maybe they have a great understanding in this area, or they have great skills and abilities and talents and gifts in this area. But again, as the Bible teaches us, God doesn't give all of us the same gifts and the same abilities. So they had the confidence in their walk with God that they knew that they could share something helpful and encouraging and strengthening, even with somebody as impressive as Apollos. I say, God bless people like Aquila and Priscilla. By the way, you'll notice when we first met Aquila and Priscilla, Aquila's name, the man, came first, and now you'll notice that Priscilla's name is first. That's significant, because I think that tells us, without saying it to us, that Priscilla was probably the stronger person spiritually in that marriage relationship. In fact, there are many good biblical scholars that believe that Priscilla may have been the one that wrote the book of Hebrews, and that's why we don't know who the human author was, because especially 2,000 years ago, women were not, you know, respected and honored and esteemed, and men would not have been as willing to accept a book written by a woman. So maybe that's a reason why we don't know who the human author of Hebrews is. Whether it's a man or woman, just like every other book, God wrote it. We're just the instruments, right? So I want us to commend and use Priscilla and Aquila as an example. Because if we're ever going to be a church that really practices discipleship, we've got to get over this mentality that I got nothing that I could add to them. We all do. We all do. We all can learn from one another. And just because someone may have a great understanding in one area doesn't mean that God can't use somebody to round them out and provide balance, you know. I certainly, before I was partnered with Nicole in ministry, certainly worship was not as big a deal in my life as a Christian as it is by working alongside of her for 16 years. God has used her and her influence to inspire me to make worship way bigger priority in my life than what it used to be. So I want us to see tonight, let's be Aquilas and Priscillas. We all have something that we can add and share. Don't be afraid to approach another believer that the Holy Spirit may be leading you to, and you having to talk yourself into it because you're like, what can I add to them? Okay? But Then notice the humility of Apollos. I mean, this young man, pretty impressive, right? He could have had the attitude of, what can this older couple, what can they share with me? I am. Look at how God's already using me. I don't need to learn anything from them. Here's a young man who has an incredibly teachable spirit because he allows this older couple to sort of come along and take him under his wing. He doesn't feel like he knows it all. He understands. We are all in the school of lifelong learning, and we all can continually grow and mature and learn things from our fellow believers if we will open ourselves up to. And by doing so, by him having that kind of attitude, notice again, they were able to explain the way of God to him more. I want you to concentrate on that word more. Because, again, there's always more of God. There's always more for us. There's always more out there that if we're willing to go to school every day, and to be in this school of lifelong learning as a disciple and making disciples, God can teach us something if we're open to it every day. God can show us things and grow things into our life if we're open. Apollos was open to this relationship. And because of that, notice then, after he was trained by this couple a little bit more, and was discipled by this couple for a while. It says in verse 27, when he arrived in Achaia, he assisted, helped greatly those who had believed by grace. He was a great help to the Christians there. Who wouldn't have been? First of all, he had already a foundation. But here's a young man who said, I can always keep growing. There's always more for me. And he brought that humility and that teachability and that enthusiasm and that knowledge of the scriptures and his gifting and all of that. He brought that into every environment he went to, and he was a great help to Christians. Now, I'll say this, since I've already mentioned Priscilla, there are many Bible scholars that believe that Apollos was the human author of the book of Hebrews. And let me tell you why. My Greek professor in seminary, he believed Apollos was the author of Hebrews for one primary reason. And you and I understand this to a point, because we live even in America where if you go to different regions of our country, people speak differently. They have different colloquialisms. They have different ways of saying things simply because they live in the same country, but they've learned to speak a certain way, right? To have certain things that they say. Well, note up in verse 24, where's Apollos from? Alexandria. In the Greek New Testament, in the book of Hebrews, there are contained what's called Alexandrianisms. In other words, sayings that people would have had to at least had some kind of connection or contact with Alexandria at some time to talk that way. You find these phrases throughout the book of Hebrews. Again, God wrote the book, but interesting. Then notice verse 28. While he was there, he refuted the Jews vigorously in public debate, demonstrating from the scriptures again, just like Paul, that the Christ, the Messiah, was Jesus. What we have in Acts 18 is a reminder that if we're going to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and make disciples, we've got to have the mentality and the perspective that we are in the school of lifelong learning. Like Paul, like Aquila and Priscilla, like Apollos. We never stop growing. There's always more for us. We're always climbing the mountain. And yet you also see this dynamic where there's just certain relationships and certain friendships and certain partnerships that just click, and where these relationships then express a mutual strengthening, a mutual encouragement, iron sharpening iron. And everyone in those relationships benefit and makes each other better for life and ministry. And they keep growing together, you see. And out of that, again, you see where, be encouraged. Even the great Apostle Paul needed people in his life. Even the great Apostle Paul needed encouragement from the Lord himself, especially when he came to Corinth. And then you have Aquila and Priscilla. They had the confidence in the Lord that they could add things to people's lives if people were open to it. Not that they thought, you know, so much of themselves, but they knew that in the Lord had given them experiences and insights and things that could be helpful to others. So they always sought out those that were open to them coming alongside of and saying, I think I can help encourage you in some way and strengthen you. And then you have on the other side of that, this young man, Apollos, who in spite of how gifted he is and how talented he is and how skilled he is and all of that, he's so humble and teachable that here comes this couple and he goes, yeah, let's get together because you can share some things with me that I don't know yet. And you can share insights and perspectives with me about your knowledge of God and your walk with God and your understanding of the scriptures that I haven't seen yet. So yes, I want to spend time with you. And out of that, he just became a greater servant of the Lord, even able to help in a greater way because he had more tools in his spiritual tool belt because he was willing to not only be a disciple, he was willing to be disciple. Hey, before we close, a couple things. School's back for everybody pretty much now, and we sort of started to see everybody coming back this past Sunday. So I wanted to say, in light of Sunday coming, again, just a reminder, if it's possible for you to park up in the upper lot and leave some spaces here for the visitors and the people that are coming that can't walk from there, whatever, if you would think about and pray about doing that. And then if you would just be praying over Sunday, I'm starting this new series. It's always daunting for me, and I totally know where Paul's coming from. If you knew how much trembling and weakness and fear I feel at all times, but especially when I start a new series. But if you would just pray that God would just strengthen your pastor as I begin this new series on Elijah and Elisha on Sunday called Holy Warriors. I think it's a series through the worship that Nicole has planned and through these scriptures that God, again, is just going to use as we continue to climb the mountain. And I know you pray for me, but if you could pray specifically for this series coming up, this sermon series on Elijah and Elisha, I would greatly, greatly appreciate it. Thank you all so much for being here tonight. God bless. We'll see you next week.